Daydreaming about dragons. Had a great session this last Friday. Ran a first session of Trophy Gold. We're going to be running through the mega dungeon, or as Trophy Gold calls it, a mega incursion that is called the Roots of Old Kaldur. And so the players will be like going into this dungeon and then coming back out with treasure and then venturing back in and figuring out what they knew, what they know, what they knew, and what they thought they knew. It's going to become a setting all of its own and a kind of a huge place. And I'm curious to see how it's going to grow beyond what's published about it and what it's going to look like, what it's going to feel like. And how the game is going to grow beyond that premise, because I don't think we're going to necessarily stay in the dungeon the whole time. Weird things happen in these delving games. And I'm curious and I'm excited, really excited. The way Trophy Gold marshals the imagination of everyone at the table is really cool, and it makes running it a joy. I mean, hopefully all games do that, right? But Trophy Gold has some tools in it that make the swimming easier. When people talk about game mechanics, I like to say that if you're running a game that plays, that supports the way you play, it feels like you're swimming with the river instead of against the river. It takes less energy to have a better game with you and your friends. And that is what Trophy Gold felt like. In the show notes, I will have a link. That is to the AP blog post of the Roots of Old Kaldur. Roots of Old Kaldur, AP. And you can check it out. I wrote up a bit about the game. I was pretty excited. And what I wanted to talk about is what to do with that post-great session energy. What do you do with it? Other than make a podcast, what do you do with it? Something to think about. What do you, you're all hyped up. You're excited. You've told everyone you can tell, and now what? What do you do? Hard-won wisdom. Do not email the players more than twice, unless it's a back and forth. And if it's a back and forth with just one person, don't email everybody all night. Okay? I know you're pumped. Don't spam your friends. That's hard won. Hard won wisdom. Don't do it. You can only email them twice. That's it. That's it. The one thing that you wanted to say, and then the one thing you forgot. And then wait a couple days. Give everybody time to breathe. Okay? Believe me, that's because I've done that wrong so many times. So many times where I just excitedly blast off emails all night. It's not cool. So I recommend you don't do that. What can you do? You can do some prep. You can get excited. Prep for next game. It's a week away. I totally did that a bit. I printed out the adventure in a format that was going to be easier for me to read. I made a bunch of NPCs and hirelings that we probably won't use for weeks, if not months, depending on how this goes, and formulated that into a blog post. Speaking of which, an actual play blog post, right? What's one thing you can do with it? It's a good thing you can do with it. It's what I love to do with it. I love to share my excitement for a game. And I also, as I get older, strokes my gray beard, as I get older, I find that I really love having a write-up of the game as an artifact. If it wasn't recorded, I love having a write-up. And I think those write-ups get more important as you play more indie RPGs, because they become something that people can look at and be like, oh, I see what this game is about. And people, it helps people understand if it's the game for them or not. And it helps an indie game creator sell games. So it's a double win. Everyone wins if you write up stuff about your game and you're excited about it. And so that's definitely the way I marshal the post-game energy all the time, is I write up a bit about it. I try not to write it like a novel, although sometimes I do that. I've done it. If you want to do it, do it. No one's stopping you. Don't be ashamed like I was. I was totally ashamed when I did that. But most of the time, I write an actual play post, a recounting of the game, the fiction of the game, and the way the mechanics brought that about and made it better and supported us, and cool things that the players said and did. That is where I'm at with actual play posts, and I'm enjoying it. I love, I you know, now that I'm getting into the Affinity Art Suite, I love adding just a little bit of graphics in there and pictures and little things to denote different sections. It's fun, really fun. So that's my go-to way. This week, I was too excited. I got the post out and I still have room to run. I still had energy. Now what? As we mentioned before, you can do a little prep. Nothing wrong with doing a little prep. You can write up something about the game. I've got my context, cool shit, and consequences worksheet. And I'll have a link to that in the show notes. And folks are liking it. So that might be something you do, is kind of look at the sheet, write down anything that makes sense. What are the consequences of what the players did? How is it going to ripple out and affect the rest of the world? Fun things to brainstorm about. So you can just sit and kind of brainstorm. That's good. That's a fun thing to do. Love it. Love it. Love it. What else? Well, let me talk about prep a little bit. Let me talk about the labor of prep, shall we? Let's do that. Okay. And I am admitting that I am very, very, very privileged in the position I sit in currently, as a gamer, right? I'm in a town where I have gamed for decades and have built up pockets of gamers here and there. If I was able to see people face to face, I would be able to set up a lot of games during the week. So that's nice. I'm doubly privileged. I've got a lot of online connections and friends and acquaintances and gamers and people who want to game with me, which is so totally flattering. Thank you to all of you. So that's nice. I can get folks together, and I realize I'm coming from a place of privilege, and you might not have that where you are. You might be in a small town. You might be more isolated. It's very different depending on where you are, right? Okay. But again, let's talk about the labor. What we're getting back to is the labor of preparing for your game. It does not afford you any other rights at the table. So if you marshal this energy and do it for prep, enjoy the prep. Enjoy the journey. Because odds are you're not getting paid for it. If you are, God's bless. But odds are you're not getting paid for it. And it's got to be something, the prep has to be something that you are enjoying doing and getting something out of. Otherwise, you've got a problem, right? Otherwise, resentment will grow. And changing what kind of prep you're doing usually means either changing the type of game, you're changing the mechanics of the game, or what game you're playing, or what type of game you're playing, or changing what the players can come to expect, or probably in a more healthy world, divvying up the DMing and the GMing responsibilities and saying, hey, could someone else take over? Which people have. A buddy of mine saw me getting a little exhausted, and I didn't even know I was exhausted. But he took over play for about 3 weeks, and it was really nice. I liked it. I dug it. It was fun. It was fun to play for a little bit. I noticed I was less anxious before the game. I was less tired. Thank you, Drew. That was good stuff. So if you're finding yourself getting exhausted, be honest with the players. Let them know, hey, this game is taking it out of me. I can't do it. Or, it might not be the game system. It might be the time slot. I'm running one game in the afternoon and one game in the evening, and it feels like a totally different hobby when you do it at different times. a brunch game feels like a totally different thing than a weekday after work game. And a weekday after work game feels like a totally different thing than an evening weekend game. It is just a different beast altogether. So watch that timing. The time slots are all important, and we don't talk about it. It is important. Get your Google Calendar or Outlook Calendar or whatever calendar you use. Get it right. It'll help. It will help. Getting back. You've got the energy. You're doing some prep. You're enjoying it. Cool. You know what? Stop. You know, as a great poet once said, collaborate and listen. Or just chill out, as I say, and enjoy the moment. Bask it in a little bit. You just ran an awesome game with your friends. Think about what you did that was awesome. And if you didn't write an AP post, jot down a couple things. What did you do that was awesome? What would you like to do better next time? What did your friends do that was awesome? How can you help them be more awesome? What can you do? Was anybody really quiet? Do you need to check in with anybody? Did anybody leave in tears? You definitely need to check in with them. So reflect, take a moment, take a breath, enjoy it. This is fun. This hobby rocks. It's a skill-based hobby. This hobby takes skills. You can be good at it. You can be bad at it. That's okay. That's okay. Be comfortable with being both. But you got to take moments to smell those roses. And when you've had a rocking game, take a moment. Is there one player who you know would love to go out and grab a cup of coffee and nerd out about the game? Snag that person. Go do it. That might be the best thing you can do after a game. Get in on an excited phone call with somebody, or an excited Zoom call, or go for an excited walk and just nerd out. Let the conversation go. It'll go from real life to not real life to what the game was about to media. Just walk around and talk. Man, that's the best thing you can do. That's the best thing you can do after a game. Go for a walk with a buddy who is at the game with you. Whew. There's not even a close second place among these options. Not even close. Not even remotely close. Enjoy the awesome. Enjoy each other. Enjoy your friends. Make a list. Tell your friends what was awesome about the game. Email them later in the week. Maybe think of a question that you'd like to ask the players in the middle of the week, 2 days before the game, 3 days, 4 days before the game. Get everybody kind of thinking about it a little bit. Give them something to daydream about. You know, that can be fun. If you've got a group, and you know, if you've got a Discord or a Facebook group or whatever, post it. Post a cool question. And ask about something about their characters. Learn about each other. And then the best is going to be when the players start pinging off each other and asking each other questions. Then you're cooking with gas. But in these moments where you have just run an awesome game, just make sure you enjoy it. Okay? That's all I'm saying. There's lots of little things you can do to divert that energy, you know, and things you can do to make the game better. And that's cool. But make sure that the things that you're doing are things you love doing and you're doing out of love. And make sure that you don't spam your players. And share it with the community if you can. Do you have that energy? Do it. You know? Someone who had a 4-minute podcast, "This is why my gaming was awesome this week," I would listen to that podcast in a second. My awesome gaming. Do it. Get recording. You can record right into your phone. You can do it. Get a blog. Maybe no one will listen. Maybe everyone will. Who knows? Who cares? Just record it for yourself. Because one day this game is going to be over. You'll start another one, but this game will be over. And that's okay. That's more than okay. That's great. Games end. That's just the way it is. One way or the other, they end. So it's nice to have an artifact of some kind. It's nice to have something you can look back on a cold day and read about an old game. I promise you, there will be details that you wrote down right after the game that will be priceless. Absolutely priceless in 10 years. Think about you 10 years from now, 20 years from now. Write it for them. All right? And if you can take a walk with a friend and nerd out and be excited and jump up and down a little bit, cool beans. That's glorious. Tell me what you do. What do you do after you've had an awesome game? After you've really had a solid hit, you know, you felt it. You felt like, wow, I connected. We connected. We did something. We took something that wasn't there and we made something new for us. And we went there together. What do you do when that happens? How do you celebrate that? How do you commemorate it? I'd love to hear it. Love to hear about that. Inspiration Goat, what do you got for us? Our Flag Means Death. And specifically, an article about Our Flag Means Death in TheVerge.com, called How Our Flag Means Death's Creator Made a Period Romance Disguised as a Pirate Comedy. David Jenkins opens up about everyone's favorite queer pirate show. And he said, David Jenkins says something that I've been thinking about from a Burning Wheel game I ran years ago. And here we go. We have a lot of shows where someone's sexuality in a period piece is met with dire consequences. So what if we just didn't do it? Right? What if we ran a game about pirates where there wasn't disgusting homophobia? What if we ran a game about knights or Vikings or whatever, and we didn't toss our 21st century ideas of what was sexuality back then onto it and try to make it some kind of cautionary tale that has been overtold to death and we probably don't need to tell again. That said, if queer folk want to tell that story again, I am never, ever, ever going to tell queer folk how, what, where, or why to tell stories about their history and where they're coming from. But I think there's something to be learned from this article about just deciding to throw it away. And we did that in our Burning Wheel game. We decided that gay relationships were just cool. And how does that work in a medieval dynastic noble setting? How does it work, you ask? It's a damned mess, just like the heterosexual relationships were. A damned mess, every one of them. Transactional. All about furthering the line. So there are lots of ways to do it. Maybe you've got good magic in your world, and any two people can just get together and through the wonders of magic, have a baby. As Jeff Goldblum said, magic finds a way. Well, he said nature finds a way. You get the idea. We'll find a way. Right? If you can throw chain lightning, you can figure out how a dragonborn and an elf can put their DNA together and create a person. You know? Find that. Find them. Find that alchemist who can do it. How does that work? I have no idea. They'll make something new. In our game, it wasn't quite that high magic. So we had a surrogate who who was a very trusted person and a very like you know, was a distant relative on the other, on one side, one or the other side of the family. And they became kind of an honored auntie to the child, but the parents were the parents. And why? Because the dynastic name has to figure out a way to propagate. You've got to keep the house going. You've got to put the house in a, you know, the noble house in a better and better situation. And you don't have to do that through patriarchy. You can just toss patriarchy out the window. Patriarchy doesn't make a damned lick of sense. It just doesn't matter. You don't need it. So get rid of it. And please don't tell me about historical accuracy. Whatever. Whatever. I just don't care. I'm saying you can make a different world-building choice if you want to, just like they did in Our Flag Means Death. And think about how cool it is for your queer friends, as my queer friend was able to have a relationship or have a series of relationships in which their queerness is not, you know, cause for a tribunal or a witch hunt. Because out there in the world, it very well might be. So why don't we just make this fantasy world a safe space? Why don't we make that damned decision for each other? And we did. And it was awesome. That Burning Wheel game rocked. Went on for years. Supposed to be a couple shots. And it just went and went and went. It was splendid. And a dear friend of mine got to try queer shoes on at the table. How cool is that? She got to talk to her fictional mother about queerness. How cool is that? How cool is that we got to make that space for our friend? I'm not saying it was therapy. I'm not saying she said things to the NPC that she should have said to her real mother. No. I'm not a therapist. I'm saying it was a cool space where we got to tell a cool sword and sorcery story. And part of that story wasn't homophobia. Rock the F on. And that is what we can learn. That is one of the many things we can learn from Our Flag Means Death. One of the many lessons we can learn from that show. You know, what if you took the patriarchal nonsense out, especially if your friends are just tired of it? Something to think about. All right? You should definitely be watching this show, Our Flag Means. It is incredible. So much fun. Funny, charming, a heart as big as the ocean. So check it out. And HBO, you need to renew this thing. All right. Shall we outro? Let's outro. Thank you so much for listening to Daydreaming About Dragons. There are a number of ways you can support the show. I'm going to say the easiest first. The easiest, the simplest, is just to tweet at me or email me. You can tweet at me at Inspiration Goat, all one word, Inspiration Goat, and let me know what you thought. Let me know how you celebrate a great game. Let me know how you change history to make it safer and better and more fun for your friends who might be from marginalized communities. How do you rock out? How are you inspired by Our Flag Means Death? Tell me. I'd love to hear it. At Inspiration Goat, all one word. Or you can email me at judd.karlman@gmail.com. If you click on some anchor links, you can find ways to give me money every month. That's lovely. Thank you. If you want to buy some merch, 100% of the artist proceeds go to cool organizations. I love that. It warms my heart. If you want an Inspiration Goat t-shirt, if Inspiration Goat makes you laugh and wearing his t-shirt means you'll get to explain to strangers at brunch who Inspiration Goat is, for goodness sake, go buy an Inspiration Goat t-shirt because it's fun. and it makes you laugh. Once, you know, once every couple of weeks, inspiration bleats at you and you just can't help but giggle. Maybe buy a shirt or a mug or a carpet or whatever it is that you want to get in the Threadless shop. As I said, it all goes to really good causes. Check it out. You can read which things go to which cause. It's good stuff. I am looking forward to hearing from you. I hope that as the spring is coming over here in this hemisphere, that you're doing all right. You're shaking off your winter coat, getting ready. I've got a bunch of exciting games happening. I'm looking forward to talking to you about them. And I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.